Steelers, demons, ghosts outside. Screaming, you can run, but you can't hide. You can't scare me, I'm already dead inside.
I'm so jealous of, like, in Los Angeles, there's, like, Not Scary Farm and all these other different haunted walks that have really upped their game, it seems. So, like, really high, like, not just, like, people in bad costumes and makeup, like, just, like, really well thought out, articulate, freaky mazes. And some of them are, like, there's a Blumhouse of Horror that has, like, just all, like, their different kind of movie characters scattered around and you wander through. I genuinely want to try some of these things.
Yeah, I've been pretty interested. It's not straight up Halloween-y, but the... Is it the Guillermo del Toro
exhibit at the AGO? Exhibit?
Yeah, exactly. Totally. That looks amazing to me.
I can't wait to check that out.
You haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth, though, right?
I haven't.
You must.
I feel like before I go there, I need to watch Pan's Labyrinth and Devil's Backbone, which maybe we should do for this. Apparently, it's his most horror.
Yeah. Movies. I would love to do Devil's Backbone on this.
Great.
That'd be great. And you just must see Pan's Labyrinth.
Right.
I brought it up once on this podcast where a guy gets his face bottled in.
Oh my God.
The destruction of somebody's face. It's horrible. It's right at the beginning of the movie. It's pretty close to a horror movie, but I don't think we could do it. We could, but
it seems like more fantasy and just really spooky visuals.
Yeah, you just probably accidentally nailed it. Right on.
I it's just been on my to watch list, and I just have never. It's just one of those I've just sit there forever, and I haven't gotten around to seeing it yet.
But then you've seen the image of the guy.
Love him.
It's amazing.
It's great.
That scene though. I'll leave it.
Great, awesome. And his new one coming out now. I almost said Lady in the Water because it is a lady in water. What's it called? The one with Sally Hawkins where she's in love with an amphibious creature.
I can't remember.
And she's mute. The Shape of Water.
Nice.
It's called The Shape of Water. Yeah, that's getting a lot of hype.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Less scary, but it's supposed to be really good fairy tale type of, like, adult fairy tale type of movie, which is the traditional fairy tales, good and creepy.
Is he doing Pacific Rim 2?
I don't know.
I think so. Because I also...
There's a trailer for that now.
Yeah, awesome. It looks great. I just love Pacific Rim.
I did. I only saw it once, but I did really like that first one.
Yeah, me and my older brother made a drinking game with Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they do that big sound, the you drink, and it will fuck you up.
I believe it. I think that would work for a Christopher Nolan movie, too.
Yep.
Did you check out Blade Runner yet?
No.
There's a lot of those horn sounds in there, too.
Mm-hmm. It's good sound.
It works. For now, like, I think we'll definitely look back on the... Audies, like the 2010s, not the Audies, the 2010s, as that time where all movie scores of like intense drama action movies were.
And there's always two of them. They could never happen in singles. Yeah.
Clearly, it's not human voices making that noise because you would just damage your vocal cords.
And I've also heard tell that there's either a desire or a possibility for crossing over Pacific Rim to like the Godzilla universe or King Kong as well.
It must be the same studio that's releasing them then, if they can even entertain that idea.
It could just be somebody's like, or like Benicio del Toro, not Benicio, Guillermo del Toro says like, I think it would work. It could just be that simple. Like, it's impossible, but he would love to do it. I would love to see that because Pacific Rim introduced like a new, there's a giant thing.
And,
you know, it looks great. Cross that over into Cloverfield. Awesome. You know, cross it over into Godzilla, King Kong. Fucking hell yes. It's a time to do that in movies.
It is the time where that is going to be happening on the larger and larger scale, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I really want to see it. Because it isn't like the new King Kong movie. Isn't that just basically a giant monsters fighting movie?
I think so. Well, I think there's two... No. Okay, I'm getting a little confused. There's a King Kong movie coming out that Adam Wingard is directing. So he's got one of them. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one coming out that... I forget who's... Another Godzilla movie coming out that is... It's going to have 11 from Stranger Things in it. I brought it up on a previous episode.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I forget which director was doing that one. Did you see Crimson Peak, speaking of Guillermo del Toro?
No.
I didn't see it either.
No.
It looks like a scary-ish movie that is more just kind of atmospheric and not really, like maybe a few cheap jump scares, but not, it didn't look amazing.
Not to me, but I hear, I have friends who like it a lot.
Oh yeah? Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe where to land on that.
Guillermo del Toro kind of looks like a Guillermo del Toro character.
Yeah.
Like he'd be wandering around in one of those universes with his, like, he's got the thickest lenses on those glasses.
Yeah.
Like an Igor type, you know?
You want to hear something?
Uh-huh.
He and his wife shop at my store.
In Toronto?
Yeah, when they're here.
So wait, you've seen him in your store buying products?
My coworkers have. I haven't, but I have seen his wife.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
That's great. And it makes sense because Pinewood Studios is over the same area as your store, right? Isn't that nearby?
In the beaches of Toronto, it could be. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, I've had to go in there for like fittings and stuff for random background gigs.
Cool.
But it would totally make sense.
I think that's exactly why that
is. His kind of neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that whole Pinewood Studios, they built essentially with mostly Pacific Rim money. Like when that first studio came here, they're like, our studios aren't big enough. There are not enough green screens in the city. We need a new big ass building.
That's a funny thing to say about Pacific Rim. This is a big movie.
Yeah.
We need bigger rooms.
What's the budget of that first one? I feel like it's 150
probably
mil.
$7,000 million.
Like, holy shit.
Which I believe is called 7 billion.
Yeah.
For the layman, that's 7,000 millions.
So if you're in Toronto or near Toronto Scaredy Cats, go check out the Guillermo del Toro exhibit because it's there. We haven't, but
that's...
Looks good.
I mean, like...
And we'll go. I'm sure we'll end up there eventually.
Yeah, there's so many things, like, it's kind of cool, like, all the different horror or horror-adjacent things that happen in Toronto, like, around us.
So much, dude. We don't even touch the surface of what we could do. Like, Toronto After Dark Film Festival just ended a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, a week straight of great-looking genre films that will eventually get released, but we could have seen them first there.
Yeah, there's that. There's Goblin being here, John Carpenter being here,
yeah.
Midnight Madness at TIFF. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much cool horror stuff, and now we have Guillermo del Toro's, like, monsters, you know, and his crazy studio and his crazy brain. That's awesome.
I know. I really regret not going to... David Cronenberg had an exhibit at TIFF, like 4 or 5 years ago, where he had just like props from his movies and like a lot of the gory stuff, just like prosthetics just out in front. Like that would have been incredible.
That would have been awesome.
Totally missed out.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe we can get a taste of that with Del Toro.
Yeah.
It could be awesome.
Sounds great. I did it with Kubrick. Did you go to the Kubrick exhibit a few years ago?
No.
It was wonderful. They set up, you walked through all these rooms and each room was one of his films. So you start at the very earliest, like Paths of Glory and Lolita films, and then you work through, and eventually you're in like a full room that's been designed to look like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
The Shining room had like the garden maze, a top-down view. You could look at the whole maze itself.
Whoa.
And had like the dresses that the twins wore. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was a great, great little exhibit.
That's so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to me, like, you know, I love Mama.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. I loved Pacific Rim. I love what he does. I love his brain.
Right.
This one might be the one that I want to go to the most.
Nice, man.
He's still making movies, right? Like, or I mean, still very, very right in the limelight of making good, big movies that have great visuals that really stand out to me. I would love to jump in on the ground, not the ground floor at this point, but
yeah,
you know, see
some of those things up close.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be that. Just a lot of the costumes and makeup and special effects and prosthetic and set pieces. I think you'll love it.
And maybe Charlie Day will be there.
Oh, well, the calculations of giant monsters is not going to be enough.
A little higher. Your voice needs to go up. There you go. Charlie Day.
I just watched him on that Hot Wings show.
He was on the Hot Wings show? That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. You got to check it out. You'll love that show.
I know.
I'd love to see you do that show, actually.
Yeah? Why?
Just because I feel like you'd go in with an attitude of like, I can do this. Like I just need to put my brain to it and I can eat any of these hot sauces. No problem. I won't even react.
I'm so scared of that.
Are you?
I like hot stuff, but I know that I've got a middle of the road tolerance for that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that would terrify me.
I just feel like your confidence level would be so high going in just for the sake of like, I've got to put up this face. This is the persona I want to enter the stage with.
Going on the show, you're right. That's how I would walk in swinging my shoulders like I own the goddamn place. But then the thing is, I would be filmed crying. Mm. Definitely.
Man, that might be a really fun thing to do sometime. Like have a bunch of people over and just do the wing challenge. Like get just a bunch of vegan wings and lather them all in all the different hot sauces. Like you just need to buy one of every hot sauce and then you have enough for dozens of people to have it and just all do it together.
You want to cry and sweat in a room like full of your friends and then get a stomach ache.
Yeah, and just scream together.
You kind of don't scream when you eat something really hot. You just go fuck.
You're like oh
god fuck, and then you drool
milk,
and you cry.
Milk, yeah, please.
It sounds super fun.
I think it'd be a great time.
I watched last night for no reason at all. I watched a hot pepper eating contest.
Mm.
And like eventually what happened is the last two people, the one guy threw up because he had just eaten so many peppers. It wasn't even the heat.
Oh man. I think that would be my reaction too. I think I'd just start puking. I'd be like, gotta get out of me.
I, I ate half a habanero pepper once, and it was very difficult not to throw up. Yeah. I don't know how you could eat 30 peppers.
That's too many.
Yeah.
That's too many peppers. I saw the 4K restoration of Suspiria the other week. Finally came here to Toronto.
And?
Speaking of fun things to do in Toronto, horror related.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. It just looks so great. It's amazing. Like, the quality is fantastic. It's just as bright and vibrant as ever. The Royal did an awesome thing where before the movie started, they played trailers for every one of Argento's movies.
Oh, cool.
Starting with the newest, going to the oldest. So that was so nice to go back and just like see this whole career retrospective, a bunch of which I haven't seen, but then to hit that golden phase and be reminded of all those great movies I binged through a couple months ago.
Yeah, not that long ago either.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question about it.
Let's hear it.
How was The Bat?
Just as cheesy as always. And I thought about you when that scene happened, of course, but it just lingers. Like, they keep smoking that bat into her face over and over and over again. But no, they did not update the bat in any way. They didn't change its form.
Great. That Zubat of a prop. Mm-hmm. I love that. That really stands out to me close to the most from that masterpiece of a movie.
What a sad takeaway from a brilliant, brilliant visual film.
That's my only question to you. So, Chris, tell me about the bat.
How did the bat look? Did it look super sharp?
Everything else is kosher.
It's almost comedic, that stupid bat, because its teeth are like pried open.
Yeah.
And it's just like smacking into her. And
like a Zubat.
Like it's about to chomp, but it's clearly like a little puppet, so its face doesn't move at all.
Yeah. And doesn't she like get it wrapped up? And then, like, her arms are, like,
you have a better memory than me. Yeah, she wraps it up in a blanket and then just starts smashing it with a chair.
But, like, is there a point where, like, she's holding it and her arms are, like, jumping back and forth? Like, she can't hold on to it?
I don't know.
I feel like it. I feel like that's that whole bat sequence. I just can't think of anything else when I think of Suspiria.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And it's one of the only bats, I think, in any of his movies, so... It's okay.
Yeah.
You can watch more Argento. And
he learned his lesson.
Not to worry about it. He sure did. There's some ravens at one point. I think a cat in another one. And then a fuck ton of insects in one that we'll hopefully watch pretty soon.
Cool. Crickets, right?
And just insects in general.
Yeah. Oh, just
but a lot of crickets.
Sweet.
Set the stage. I fucking love that movie. It's so nuts.
What was it called again?
Phenomena.
Phenomena.
Yeah, it's not... I still think there are... I think, like, opera is a better movie, but Phenomena, there's just so much to talk about that I think would make a better podcast episode.
That's what we need.
But today, we're going to watch a movie that, in past episodes, Dave, you specifically have said how much you're looking forward to this because you love possessed doll movies so much.
We're watching Dark Skies,
nah. The famous possessed doll movie.
We are finally getting off our asses and watching Child's Play, I guess.
Yeah, one of the few franchises that we haven't started. We've done a ton of them now.
We just got Halloween done.
Just got Halloween, so. Just got Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
But we also have Nightmare on Elm Street, Hellraiser, mm-hmm. Scream,
Exorcist.
Yeah.
Even Alien.
Like Alien, The Omen. Like, we're doing it, man. We're knocking some of the bigger ones out. And this is another big one.
And Leprechaun.
Leprechaun. Let's not forget.
The most important one. Yeah, we're finally doing this one, and I say finally because other than kind of Bone Tomahawk, this is the only one I really don't really want to watch.
Right.
I would prefer to watch Annabelle. Well, I mean, not again. I guess I would rather watch this one because it's going to be new to me. I've never seen any of the Child's Play movies, none of them.
No. Okay, so I have watched this first one, but I don't really remember it much. I remember more watching the ones that came out when I was in high school, which was Bride of Chucky.
Yeah. I've seen bits and pieces of that, but I've never sat down and watched it. I don't know who lives, who dies. I just hate it.
Right.
I just hate it.
So, like we've said in other episodes, it's all the brainchild. Every single one has been written by Don Mancini, mm-hmm. which is unique for a franchise to have him just in artistic control. And they all are, if I remember, this first one is a little darker than some of the later ones.
Yeah. Doing my research, everything that I've read is that this one is a real horror movie and the rest of them steer into the comedy or the silliness. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I think Bride of Chucky and Sea of Chucky, that's just so fucking silly.
Yeah.
I mean, the like poster line for Bride of Chucky was Chucky gets lucky. And then Seed of Chucky, he has a child. And so
probably
I mean,
from when he got lucky.
But I remember them still being fun, weird movies. And they're still obviously horror enough to be considered for this podcast. Like, I think we could still legitimately watch any of those movies given our criteria.
Yeah, a thing I think I'll like better from Annabelle to this one is that I know that the doll itself is going to kill stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I like.
Right. It's not just going to sit there looking askance.
Yeah. just basically a doll gets scream time. No, it's going to be a living, weird little...
This thing's running around stabbing puppet. People.
Yeah, it's a slasher.
Yeah.
It's a supernatural doll slasher. And I don't know, maybe that'll help.
And people, I mean, it's timely because the latest Cult of Chucky, the sixth or seventh installment of the franchise, it's just come out and people are very excited about that. They say it's more of a return to some of the more scarier elements of Child's Play.
I like that.
So I think it's interesting that you have the same writer who's coming up with all these different iterations of it, but it's kind of pivoting what it's doing with the genre from film to film.
Yeah, it's probably a little easier for if you're in complete creative control to go like, no, we'll do this time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to space.
Right.
You know, like I feel like that decision is a little more obvious when you're the only one in the room and nobody can like kind of
stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of go with your intuition of like, I want to see Chucky do this now.
Yeah.
So you have Child's Play 1, 2, 3, then Bride, Seed.
Back to the Hood.
Nope. I wish. there needs to be a Child's Play Leprechaun crossover.
Mm-hmm. That's almost kind of like why I don't want to watch it. It's because I just like Leprechaun better, even though I haven't seen this. I know I like it better.
Then Curse of Chucky and then Cult of Chucky. So the seven in total.
So Chucky has gone neither to the Hood nor the Final Frontier.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Child's Play Star Trek crossover has not yet happened. That would be great, though.
Soon enough.
Well, I feel like Q would have something to do with that.
This season hasn't gone deep enough yet of Discovery, so
Discovery,
we'll see.
Right. He might show up still. You haven't seen all the rest of the episodes. Rainn Wilson's like, and I've got a toy from the 20th century back on Earth. Is he human?
He is. Yes.
Okay.
He is.
Cool. There's also a slash and dash phone game that Child's Play released. It's like one of those Temple Run games where you get to be Chucky and just stabbing things as you're running by.
Are you stabbing people or like little bundles of burlap sacks of jewels?
I don't know. It was quickly discontinued and canceled. Got like a 30% rating on videogamereviews.com. Jeez. I don't know. Metacritic.
Videogamereviews.com.
Trademarked.
That's probably a thing. I'm laughing at probably something that is no big deal.
Probably. It had $9 million budget, which is very pricey for like an 80s campy horror movie, but it made $44 million.
Yeah, and it definitely made its money back and then a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fuckload of money.
Yeah, well done, Child's Play. That's right. Why we have so many of them. There's not many franchises, I think, that would exist if they hadn't had such a successful first installment. It needs to be a moneymaker to have studios and producers want to keep throwing cash at it, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Bad Halloween movies, they all made great money.
Yeah, they're definitely moneymakers, but yeah, you wonder what component of the movie is the moneymaker. You know, is it the fact that it's a weird looking little doll and some people are weirdly scared of that in the same way some people might be more scared of clowns and more likely to see a movie that's got scary clowns in it.
It's true. You're tapping into kind of a very widespread fear, perhaps.
Yes.
The dolls coming to life. And like all kids who grew up with dolls, I'm sure at some point were freaked out by the look of one of their dolls.
Yeah, because like... I don't know who started this trend, what trailblazer decided that like dolls are terrifying things that need super real looking eyes.
Mm.
Like, I don't know who came up with that nightmare idea.
Yeah.
But it's ruined the lives of so many children.
Yeah. I wonder too, like, because right near the end of the 80s, you have a couple of them. Maybe Puppet Master just was another studio trying to cash in on the success of Child's Play. Mm. But Puppet Master came out soon after. And there's like 13 of those fucking movies.
Yeah. is there like... some weird Puppet Master crossovers, though?
I don't know.
I feel like in my verse, when we were looking up the Versus movies, one of them was a Puppet Master crossover.
Oh, that's great. I don't know, but there's a whole Motley Crue of dolls in that one, and they each have their own distinct personalities and weapons. I'm kind of excited to try that at some point, too.
Like the Cenobites.
Exactly.
Of the doll world.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's like an Egyptian curse, apparently, and this one is a serial killer.
Yeah, a possessed doll. It's possessed by a serial killer, right?
Yeah, you got it.
A Chucky doll.
All right, let's do it, man.
All right, Chris, do you want to fucking watch Chucky?
Child's Play. Chucky's Play.
Cheers, Chris.
So, was the kid's name Tommy or Andy? I think it was Andy.
I don't know.
I think it was Andy, which is crazy.
Because that's the name of the kid in Toy Story.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be a crazy choice on the part of Toy Story. Yeah.
Come along if you feel like you want to watch Child's Play 2.
Nice. We have sung that song on this podcast before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, Happy. Yeah. Which episode? That was a big deal.
I feel, oh, what was it? At the very end. Was it It Comes at Night?
It was something that was, it was silly for us to be happy. I mean, yeah. I guess any horror movie you have to, is a little silly to be happy about, but.
I think it might be It Comes at Night.
Okay.
Because it was such a not happy ending.
Right.
Maybe.
That sound, that does sound like us.
And we did Two Become One on
a couple
Monsters.
Times. Monsters, and then it came back up another time.
I'm sure it did.
Like where we both started singing it. But Monsters is what I will forever associate it with.
Yeah. That's just what that song was written for.
Yeah. They didn't know it at the time, but years later, there'd be a movie that was the perfect context for that song.
Yes, and apparently what the Spice Girls were singing about was two tentacle monsters in the night.
Making love.
We don't even know for sure
it's
they were.
Some love. Were they making love? I think they were just high-fiving, like the monster were. Equivalent of high-fiving.
They were fucking.
Hmm. And that's why they didn't have time to kill what's-their-faces in the gas station.
Didn't have time or really the need.
They or the all, interest.
They were all sex face.
Yep.
Just ready to go.
Narrow scope of vision. Yeah. Andy and his toys.
Did you look it up? It's
6 years before. No, because this internet is just like going crazy wonky on me.
Hold on. I might have it. Yeah.
It is Andy?
You nailed it.
Andy. Andy and his toys. So crazy.
That's a Toy Story thing now.
Yeah. But wow. Child's Play did it first.
Huh.
How about that? Reactions?
I never knew that.
Yeah.
My reaction to that is, well, that's a creepy decision that they made.
$9 million, we kept saying while watching this.
Yeah. Every time something exploded or there was an unnecessary effect, $9 million, we would just say it.
This does not need to be $9 million. I mean, don't get me wrong. I fucking loved all the explosions in this movie and how over the top they were and how over the top some of the scenes were because of the money that they had. But they could have made this movie without that.
They could have made I think the allure of making a doll movie is all you need is a doll and you know, you can get away with it.
It's a low budget idea.
Yeah. And they're like, nah, if we're going to use a doll, we can use all that money that we would have spent on monster effects on something else.
I don't understand how movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th were made with a couple million dollars, you know, and then somehow Child's Play was able to secure $9 million in finances to make this movie. That's such an insane amount of money for a horror movie.
Yeah, Get Out didn't get that much money.
Hell no, it didn't. The vast majority of horror movies out now are made for $4 or $5 million.
Yeah, like half of that.
Yeah.
You can make an amazing movie that will stun the audiences of 2017.
Yeah. That being said, for 1988, the ball isn't dropped at any point. Chucky looks fantastic.
Yeah, all right. So let me just dial back on my, you know, how I started this episode. That was pretty good.
Oh, that was a blast.
That was a really good movie.
That was so fun.
Yeah.
So funny.
It was hilarious. It was like, had great just shots and moments and, you know, the way that the doll actor puppet tier however moved that thing was really good.
We had so much fun watching this movie.
I really, really enjoyed that.
I fucking love Chucky.
Yeah.
Foul mouth Chucky.
When he gets caught by the mom.
That first time. Where he really becomes animate in his face.
Yeah. And he just starts cussing her out and biting and slapping.
Just smacking him.
Goddamn motherfucker. Like, yeah.
So endlessly entertaining.
Yeah.
Like just like Leprechaun, I was so excited anytime Chucky was on screen. Just him scrambling around was so hilarious.
That's it. Yeah. Just watching him like
any
little human action he did was funny. He takes the keys off the table and it's funny.
It is that hand reaching in, grabbing, pulling off.
When he came down the chimney and kicked out the smoke screen thing from the fireplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dunk.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And even his first kill was just a little dunk and she falls out the window.
The hammer. Yeah.
And that was reminiscent of The Brood.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was a nice rollout of getting a little more of Chucky each time.
Yeah, it started with a lot of those first-person perspective shots.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that the camera just runs into a room and...
Yeah, and opening shot of Halloween, just that classic killer POV.
Yep,
yeah.
Killer POV is great. But it's lower. You can tell it's lower. Right. They did a good job at keeping it like at a child's height.
The Shockwaves podcast, they have their old podcast. Their first podcast was called Killer POV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great name.
I love Chucky's little toy knife that he has too. I mean, this guy has access to anything, but he holds on to still like a toy knife that is somehow a really sharp blade at the same time.
Yeah, they did a good job at like the animations of the doll in his hands and his ability to move his arms and legs pretty quickly.
Yeah. Because
when he took out a weapon or something, it didn't look like a silly plastic hand being puppeteered over a knife and then the magnets clicking and then it moving away.
Well, I think we have a mix of like puppeteering and robotics and even maybe there's, like a child actor or a little person actor doing it. Because this
definitely
specifically or, when he like rolls and then hops to his feet, that looked like much more human and not puppety.
When he, yeah, when he was standing on the counter earlier on in the movie,
mm-hmm.
that also looked
right.
like there was a just a person in a yeah. suit. And it's been shrunk down or perspectived in some way.
But that's only if we're hyper-focusing like we do on these kind of effects. Like, it's, yeah. it still looks very way better than I imagined it would have looked.
I that's the biggest thing that blew me away about the whole movie is yeah. how good the doll looked mm-hmm. moving around.
Yeah.
Like, wow. The for several different reasons, whether it is by puppeteer or by, like, a full-body actor, like, it...
It looks so good.
Convincing. And like he's quickly back on his feet and runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Like that helps. That helps like make this a horror movie rather than a silly like watch him get kicked around.
Totally. And the fact that he's so small makes it just so upsetting for people that are trying to kill him. Like when he gets in yeah. that car accident, the guy is just like, he can scurry around the car and he can easily climb in and out of that yeah. car because of his tiny little size, which makes him so menacing.
Yeah. What I loved about that scene is how he was like stabbing the knife through the chair.
Oh God. While he was driving. Yeah.
yeah. While he was driving and he had to like dodge the knife stabs as he was driving. That was really cool.
It's just so fun.
That was high octane. $9 million.
Yeah. Yeah, so he definitely, like all we were talking last week, like all horror movie franchises, you tend to like update the mask or everything. Mm. I feel like Chucky looks a little different in each one too. Like they play yeah. around with the Chucky doll.
Yeah, when we were first seeing the dolls, the good guy dolls in the store
yeah.
in the opening scene of the movie, I'm like, oh, those don't look like Chucky.
That's not the Chucky I know.
I know that yeah. that's it,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't look right. And then the way that they had just like a really like a silicone face on that doll and they were able to just like use it like a puppet.
Totally.
Made it look like a really good like Furby-esque kind of
mm-hmm.
doll that could speak and move its eyes and stuff. And that was kind of believable to look at.
Totally.
But then it also made his like speaking scenes and the malleability of that face so believable and so easy to follow.
Mm-hmm. And then later ones, I feel like in one of them, he gets his face totally smashed. And then I think this is how Bride starts. I think Jennifer Tilly enters the scene with taking like the fragments of Chucky, who was like just decimated at the end of Child's Play 3,
oh,
and like
okay.
brings them together and like performs a seance and resurrects it all. And that's why Chucky from that point forward just has like
the stitching and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the face, which is what I think of when I think of Chucky.
That me too. Shit. I must have seen Bride of Chucky.
Probably.
I just did. I have to have because I know the stitching. I've seen mm-hmm. the doll run around before.
Yeah.
I must have seen that movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about it, of course. I don't think it's a memorable movie, unless maybe you're a big Child's Play fan, and then it probably is.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely converting at this point. That was...
Yeah, because I think maybe you had assumed that it was, or that it took itself too seriously, and that it wouldn't be like as fun, or the fun elements wouldn't be there.
Yeah, I just thought they were walking a tightrope between taking itself too seriously and not seriously enough.
Yeah.
Because I think a horror movie needs to take itself seriously, unless you want to steer into the comedy and then, you know.
Yeah, I think it totally depends on the content. I think if you're doing like It Comes at Night, then it's important to take yourself seriously. If you're doing a killer doll with like the soul of a serial killer that just seances themselves into this doll, yeah. then you shouldn't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, to get away with the movie overall, I agree. But for my own personal sensibilities, I do want to see the doll creep me out a little bit. Mm. And as that type of viewer, when Chucky's burned up and he's still got all his little baby teeth in his eyes and
the eyes are bloodshot at that point.
Just like what looks like flaps of plasticky skin mm-hmm. like hanging over stuff. Amazing. That's an incredibly creepy image, and I didn't know that was a part of the Child's Play right. series. That was awesome.
Yeah, him totally right. charcoaled up like that is great. And it actually reminded me of the doll in Deep Red. Scaredy cats, who are also Argento fans, will know that doll that I'm talking about. But it just kind of resembled that a little bit with the eyes kind yeah. of bulging out. That came to mind. I felt like there was a little other bits of homages sprinkled in too. Like when Chucky's yeah. stabbing through the door, the way that the shot is set up yeah. is like The Shining.
Yeah, exactly.
The mom is exactly on the left side and the knife is going through yeah. and it's a white door.
Yeah, and it's getting like closer and closer to it. Yeah, it yeah. does. That's got to be 100%.
I think so. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. And I'm really curious about whatever classic horror movie they were watching too, because that's what's so cool about this genre
yeah.
is that directors love giving shout outs to other movies in the genre that they love.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was the Thunderstorm channel she was watching, but maybe it was another horror movie.
Man, this for like Okay, first of all, I love his voice so much.
Yeah, wow.
The voice of Chucky is wonderful. That deep Chicago accent or whatever just sounds so great.
And like super like super blue, like just swearing and like just got a real mouth that's so good.
Absolutely. And the fact that this guy just happens to have a buddy who's super into voodoo and spells and seances, and he can from memory recite perfect Latin and perform this spell. It's just like something that he cleverly, you know, as fate would have it, just decided one day that, you know what, I need to memorize like a soul transfer spell just in case I find myself when I'm doing some of my crimes, doing some of my killings in a situation where I can then quickly Voldemort style transfer my soul over into a single object. Would have been better if he split it across seven Chucky dolls, perhaps.
That would have been a safer way to hedge your bets.
I think so. That's what Voldemort knew, and he did not.
Well, maybe the voodoo spell isn't quite so versatile, and he's got to work with what he's got. You know,
single transfer.
He was shot in the chest, so he had a bit of a time limit.
He was so close to just retransferring his soul into Andy.
Yeah, and I was wondering if what we were going to get from that moment on was a little bit of a, like, did he? You know?
I think we totally did, because when there's a split second when Andy is looking at the fire and his mom was like, light a match, light a match. And Andy kind of pauses and his eyes like look especially dark.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is there like a bit of the soul in there? What's happening?
But yeah, then that's also like the doll is still attacking them. So yeah. Otherwise, that's the kid. They could have done that. That would have been a creepy ending.
Well, I was wondering if like, oh, was it a partial transfer? So the doll is still fully the soul and maybe a bit of the soul is in the kid. But that's me retroactively putting Harry Potter logic into it, where a soul can be split up into different things.
Yeah. You know? Well, what if like what I was like potentially able to take from that is like, what if in that sequence they'd swapped and like the doll, like,
oh, the
I'm
kid,
still alive.
The he's kid.
Like, he's like, mommy, and then like gets thrown into the fire pit and he's like bashing trying to get out.
Yeah,
because it's the kid.
The only trouble with that is then when souls transfer, also voices transfer.
Yeah, he was definitely still the same
guy.
It was
still definitely the deep Chicago accent.
Yeah, it was still him. But that would have been a cool, like, horrific ending.
It would be nice. That's a great idea. I feel like it's done somewhere. It sounds so familiar, doesn't it?
Where
like a transfer at the last minute.
Gets swapped.
Yeah.
There's an ending kind of like that in life. I know that's not what you're talking about, but
no, but you're right, that is like the kind of double fake out thing. That's so pleasing. That was
it feels really good.
Of the best parts of life, I think.
I loved the scene in the car with the knife stabbing through the thing. That was amazing. I loved just moments with Chucky, like I think I even said it out loud. I'm like, what a great creepy shot where his face came back into view for just a second. I think when he was like under the bed or something.
Yeah, I feel like it was peeking around a corner or something.
He's just quickly peeking around a corner for one quick second, and you see his face. And then nearing the end, like, his face was so much more animated when he was speaking.
Yeah.
Like, how angry he was, you could see all of those emotions really, really clearly on his face, rather than making just a really creepy face doll and then having it sort of a, like, a jack-of-all-trades sort of expression on the doll's face that will work for whatever scene you need and then animate its mouth.
Yeah.
It's like his face was malleable enough that he could really, 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 really emote. And along with that voice.
By the end, for sure. Like at the start, they definitely increase it, which is so good. Because at the start, he can just kind of move that bottom jaw. And when he's speaking, it's like the most subtle or minor of movements. Then by the end, it's almost like it's just a full animate creature.
Exactly. It looks really good.
It does.
It looks like $9 million.
Yeah, but let's go back to this job that the mom has to work and this dick boss. How about that motherfucker, huh? How sad and miserable is this dude who is like clearly she's a single mom whose father has died recently.
Yeah, and it's her child's birthday, and
it's
she's already working.
Birthday. What more variables do you need to have sympathy for another human being?
Someone's gone ill, so you have to stay. It's like, is that how labor laws work? I have to.
And really, she works the shoe department. She can't just be here for a few more hours, like running this thing. It's all just cash. It's just cash exchange.
Yeah. And they even said, like, you can go home at 5, but you got to come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, she did do that. Then she went home for a few hours. And
that's crazy. Like, just as like a person who works a job, if someone told that to me, like, my hackles would be up. I would be mad.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck, I do have to stay.
But, you know, maybe the dad had a pretty good life insurance policy, but that seems like a decent apartment for someone who just does the jewelry store counter, you know?
Yeah, I think, you're damn life insurance? Right about that. It could be life insurance. It could just be the classic, like, horror stories take place in lavish motherfucking domiciles. Just
I actually really love that about this movie, that it does take place in an apartment complex.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and this building in particular is just such a beautiful, gorgeous building. That elevator is so great. Like, it's such a great setting.
Yeah, man. I'm
for
glad
this
you,
whole story.
I'm glad you brought that up. Like, that aesthetic on its own. I thought as it was just coming up, I'm like, man, I like that elevator. That looks really good. Mm-hmm. Just super mechanical and like old-timey male.
Just old. Just
yeah.
Yeah, like Chicago, this is like the birth of the skyscrapers. So these are just old ass buildings, and the earliest elevator technology still remains in some of them.
Just a lift.
A lift, yes, yeah. Sir.
And then they revisit it later in a sequence, you know, in the doll being in that elevator and her circling it.
It's great.
Like a corkscrew going down in a drain or something, like her chasing it down. And then the door is just open when she gets there. The front door is open. She looks down the street. It's not there.
Yeah.
Great. Amazing.
But so many other slasher movies all just take place in houses.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only one I can think of that we're actually in an apartment building with different units and neighbors that hear gunshots and want to check out what's going on.
Yeah. And that was important for the first kill of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the main villain. Being killed and putting himself
in a
doll.
In a toy store. Why does this toy store explode?
Because it gets struck by lightning as he conducts
the
ritual.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Man, this ritual, like the second he starts saying it, the clouds just start rolling in super dark. Looks incredible.
Clouds do not like that ritual. And that that emphasized how cool that building looked the second time he did it.
I mean, it's kind of the iconic poster is like that beautiful downtown Chicago building with the lightning striking in the background and Chucky's face in the top left.
That like kind of green looking, like stormy shot that they had.
Yeah. In the poster, I think they just make it more monochromatic, but yeah, same building and everything. Yeah.
I like that shot because it was like... The building was weirdly isolated against the sky, and it was weirdly green. I just really thought
the sky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool like tint to use on the camera and that.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's fun. It does not look cheesy. Like you'd expect something like this just to be cheesy top to bottom.
That's the biggest thing that stands out to me is it doesn't look like...
Yeah.
If you haven't seen a Chucky movie, it doesn't look like what a Chucky movie should look like.
What you think it should look like, an 80s doll horror movie.
Or potentially what the rest of them look like. I don't know.
That's not to say that it isn't silly. It's super silly.
Very silly.
But not as well done.
Yeah, it's not as silly as like Leprechaun.
Yeah.
That's like a way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Is like to place what kind of silly movie it is.
And I take Leprechaun in all its silliness because that is its own thing. And it's so enjoyable for how much more silly it is. But they're very similar. Like they're in the same kind of... horror comedy vein featuring a tiny little demon type of character.
Yeah, Leprechaun didn't have 9mm, so in Chucky
that is
true. You go to a toy store and it explodes. In Leprechaun, he just pogos somebody to death. It's just different priorities.
Nothing really explodes. You have cars roll in Leprechaun, but that's about it.
There's a lot of explosions. They destroy some cars.
They do not miss an opportunity to explode anything
no.
in this movie. We need to reemphasize this $9 million because when Andy goes to that guy's house and Chucky kills
Andy. I know. Oh yeah, Andy and Chucky go to that house to kill Eddie.
Eddie is the guy's name?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, screenwriter, come on. Andy and Eddie in the same thing. Anyways, that's beside the point.
But Chris doesn't like that screenwriter.
It's way too close. But you go into this place and he could kill this dude any way possible, right? Like a gunshot wound, a stab, just kill the guy. But no, he's going to let the gas out and light it just to blow this building up because they've got $9 million.
Yeah, that was one of the moments, scaredy cats, while we were watching this. Chucky goes in, he turns on, he like blows out the flames.
The pilot light,
thank you. And then he turns up the gas and then Chris said $9 million.
That's a very fun part of watching this movie.
It's just saying $9 million. You should try it. It's awesome.
Okay, let's see the budget for Child's Play 2 and 3, huh? Box Office Mojo, Child's Play 2. Because I wonder if because it did so well, they still gave that much money.
I really hope they did.
I hope they gave him $18 million.
I hope they doubled up. Child's Play 4 has like $60 million.
Holy shit. Like this almost feels like Michael Bay would direct a silly 80s childhood movie about dolls.
It's funny because we're trying to look up some specifics about it right now. And people also ask on Google, is Child's Play based on a true story?
Yes, it's based on a true story. The world's coming to an end. Okay, Child's Play movies at the box office. Here we go. A nice chart.
$13 million for Child's Play 2.
Hell yeah.
13.
What year? Is that the next year?
1990.
Okay, a couple years after.
2 years later, wonderful. They got $4 more million.
Wonderful. I'm just like, I really want, we've already got like the same three giant explosions lined up. I just want just one more, please.
Do you
want
to know something?
Did it bomb?
No, Child's Play 3.
Did they up it again?
Yep.
Holy shit.
$20 million.
Oh, yes. Yes. At this point, Chucky's just going to have like a blowtorch in his back pocket and just hand grenades.
The hand grenades. That's what it's going to be. And he's going to throw it under like at a building and the whole like skyscraper is going to go up. It's going to be insane. Helicopters are going to fall from ceilings.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a good movie. Wow.
I don't remember how much explosions and high budget concepts there are in Bride and Seed, but I feel like in Seed there was some good car chase stuff. I don't know, who knows? I remember there was a sex scene between the two dolls in Bride of Chucky.
In Bride of Chucky.
Which, of course.
By the way, the budget for Bride of Chucky was $25 million.
Holy shit. He's like, I'm not making another movie unless you up my budget by another $3, $4 million every time. What are you spending that money on?
I just need to know. Seed of Chucky.
Holy crap.
$24.8 million.
Still. For Seed? There's no way. Okay, now we have to finish this. Check Curse and Cult. Because I feel like those were made much skimpier.
It's got to be.
It's got it. Those ones have got to be around like five each.
Five. Five for Curse. And Cult is?
Maybe even less. Because I think that was a very limited movie done on the small scale.
Ooh, this one doesn't have the
I think Cult takes place in an insane asylum. And the kid from the first one is back in the latest one.
It's not on Wikipedia. Hold on.
I feel like you're not appreciating this.
I didn't even hear what you said.
The kid from this first one, Andy,
uh-huh.
is back in the latest one.
How old is
as
he?
As an adult.
He's an adult. That's awesome.
In an insane asylum or something like that.
The newest Chucky. I am on board. Scaredy Cats.
Oh, yeah.
I am on board Chucky. It's like,
he's
I love
back
it
on.
I love it. It was so much fun.
One of Dave's classic flops. Flip-flops.
I flip-flop over just about nothing. It doesn't take much. And this is one of those situations.
Right.
That was so much fun. And knowing that, like, part of what was so great about that, $9 million, then 13, then 20, then 25, then 25. That's amazing.
Yeah. And of course, it just has to come to a head in Seed. At that point, audiences are just like, enough. We can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think like
five.
Okay. I'm looking at the box office amount that they made for it. And while the budgets increase every time, the gross drops every time.
Yeah. In Bride, it was like they made like $5 million.
No, they did okay with Bride. Oh, actually, I'm looking at them slightly out of order. So the first one made $33 million. Uh-huh. Child's Play 2 made $28 million. So drops a little bit. Okay. Less of a return on a higher investment.
Uh-huh.
Child's Play 3 only made $14 million. Bride bounced right back and made $32 million again. So
oh
that's
my
like,
God.
It's the second highest grossing one. And then after that, Seed of Chucky only made $17 million. And that was after like a $24 million budget. So that's when they hang up the franchise and like, forget it. And I think it was they did it through some other means, like some kind of an independent studio or way smaller scale to do the newer ones for only $5 million. Like that's a total reimagining of what you have to work with.
That's kind of starting from scratch. Give somebody else a go at it.
Yeah.
Wow. I just am having trouble getting over $25 million.
It's a lot. That's like five Get Outs.
That's
a Get Out franchise.
I need to like. We need to watch these movies. I need to see where they spend it.
Yes.
Like, are there huge actors in it?
That's a great question. Well, Jennifer Tilly is a pretty big actress, and this is one of her biggest things, so I'm sure they compensate her well. I'm sure.
Yeah, but she doesn't get $20 million, so.
She definitely doesn't get $20 million. I'm sure Don Mancini gets a nice cut each time.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I was saying a while back about binging through all the Halloween movies.
Mm-hmm.
John Carpenter was going to come back and do Halloween H2O. Because it's the same producer for all of the Halloweens, like the guy who kind of legally owns the property.
Okay.
And John Carpenter kind of got screwed over a lot of the royalties of the first ones just because he like wasn't that big of a director. So signed certain contracts and ended up a lot of other people made money and he didn't make it. Ooh. So for Halloween H2O, he's like, sure, I'll do it. And because he doesn't even have the rights to it anymore. Someone else gets to control the property. He's like, my director fee is $10 million because I got screwed over on the first ones. And they're like, no. So that's why John Carpenter didn't direct.
Wow.
H2O.
Oh, good for him for standing his ground.
Yeah.
It's like 10 mil or you can fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. And now that like that producer isn't in the picture anymore, might be dead, but Jason Blum is kind of running the new one, the new Halloween. So now John Carpenter you know, is much more interested in being involved than someone that didn't screw him over.
Exactly. And he's got the ability to be involved.
Yeah. And Blumhouse is just famous for profit sharing. Like, we all split, we split a percentage of what the movie makes after the costs are recuperated. Mm-hmm. That way everyone works as hard as they can, because the better this movie does, the more money everyone individually will get for it. It's a brilliant model.
Yeah. It's like communism.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the way to go.
Like mini, like a communist approach to doing a certain project. Yeah.
That is how a project should be done. Maybe not how a country should be run, but a project for sure.
Well. Jason Blum for president. This model can work on a grander scale. Trust me.
I'm not against it.
Jason Blum for president?
Yeah, I'm against it.
I don't want to live my daily life with jump scares. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to infuse those jump scares into the fabric of society.
Like when you open one of those like boxes that has the newspapers in it to get your daily newspaper.
Just like, it's just pranks.
A cobra jumps out of you.
We both went to snakes. Just surprise snakes everywhere in Jason Blum's presidency.
It could have been a cardboard cutout of something, but instead we wanted snakes. How can you scare people in their day-to-day in the city? Snakes.
Just horror dolls everywhere. Lots of little Annabelles. Annabelles.
Annabelles.
Annabelles. Smoke an Annabelle.
It sounded like a cross between Annabelle and Hannibal.
Is
that what that was?
Sure.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Let's see that. Let's go with that.
Not just a weird criticism.
No, it's a criticism for sure. What do you think? Instagram comments?
Instagram comments!
All right, we got some new comments on our Martyrs post, just to totally pivot from one type of horror movie to a very different kind of horror movie. And on Martyrs, Horror Nostalgia said, this movie was so vulgar, but we couldn't stop watching.
Yeah, I feel like I could have. also on Martyrs by Scream Queen 1985. My favorite horror film of all time, Heart, Heart, Heart.
Wow. Well,
that's a good choice. I mean, I envy you for having the iron stomach of a champion.
There's this podcast called The Canon, where what they do is she has a different guest on every week and they debate whether or not a certain movie should be considered like in the canon of great cinema. So they did Martyrs for the first one for their Halloween month, and basically they weigh the pros and cons of a movie and whether or not it should be considered canon, and then at the end they get all the listeners to vote on whether it should be canon or not. Martyrs got 51% to say yes, it is canon, and all the comments, she was reading comments of people who voted, and nothing was lukewarm. People were either like, this is a masterpiece, it's like the greatest horror movie of the 20th century, it's unbelievable, or people were like, this is a piece of trash, it's such garbage. It does not deserve to be a movie at all. So movie, like I get excited by movies like that that are so polarizing.
Yeah.
I find Neon Demon is like that. I find Mother is especially like that. And usually I'm on the side of like appreciating them for at least, because they always try to do something ambitious.
That's typically why they're so like divisive, is because they stuck their neck out a little bit.
And exactly.
I tend to enjoy those for that reason as well.
Yeah. And Martyrs is definitely in that category for us.
100%.
Yeah. So we agree with both of you. And in terms of couldn't stop watching, I really wonder if I watched this movie alone, if I would have kept going or really watched every second of the torture at the end or tried to skip ahead, because we're watching it together and for the podcast, we had no choice but to play it all the way through. We're not going to stop watching a movie. So thanks for those comments. This has been another edition of Instagram comments.
This has been another edition of your favorite podcast doing Instagram comments.
After watching a badass doll run around and stab people. Oh, more Chucky, please.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be saying it, but... Mm-hmm. Here's the official Stoneborough flip-flop.
Yeah.
I love Child's Play. Loved it.
All right. You heard it here. We have another Stone Turner, and that's on Child's Play. What have been some other Stone Turners? The Mist?
Yeah. I've flip-flopped.
That was a Stone... It's a Stone Turner.
I Stone Turned on that one.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it wasn't a huge thing for the podcast, but I Stone Turned on Friday the 13th thinking it was really good.
I definitely stone wobbled on that one, because I don't think I really liked it to begin with. Like I think I said on another episode too, slashers that don't have anything more to say than just stabbing people in a body pile up, like I need a little bit more substance.
Yeah, we actually had a discussion, you and me, about our preference between Jason and Michael Myers.
Right.
I was on the Jason side, you're on the Michael Myers
side. I feel good about that now that we've watched both of them.
Yep. Yeah, I'm envious of you having that opinion.
No, but then you wouldn't get the chance to turn over some stones.
To stone turn like I love to do.
I'm sure we all stone turn in our own ways.
It's good to do. If you never do, that sucks.
That means you're going to have no change in opinion for the rest of your life?
Yeah,
come on.
You see something, you're like, that's how it is, and it never changes. That's
like
sweet.
I stone turned mid. I love this is our vocabulary.
That's great.
I stone turned mid VHS 2 episode. because once we started talking about him, I came to your side and agreed that
yeah, right.
Zombie Bike was a better short film than Robo Eye. What's it called?
Robo. Yeah, that's what I called it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Robo Eye. Yeah, that was a good stone turn.
Yeah.
So it is totally based on my name, but we're cool. I'm cool with it.
So, watch some horror movies, keep an open mind, let your stones be turned, because, yeah, we have to evolve as humans. If you have the same taste and you like the same kinds of movies your whole life, then why keep living?
Yeah, why not just end it?
Why bother?
But, take a look on down through our little catalog here and see if there's a movie that maybe sticks out to you as one of those movies you're like, nyeh, but you don't have a real clear memory on why you're nyeh-ing it.
Mm-hmm.
Hop on in and see if you turn a stone.
Yeah. First, listen to us and see if we liked it or not. I think we've liked most of the movies we've watched.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
There's just been a very few that we don't like.
We generally do enjoy them, or at least like squeeze the good out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got to fill the hour somehow. Also, if you're a dude who, you know, is into voodoo and knows a lot of spells, maybe don't tell your serial killer friend, you know, what's it called? The Lakeview Strangler?
Yeah. Maybe don't tell a renowned strangler.
Don't tell a renowned strangler where you keep the voodoo doll of yourself.
Yeah.
So you can just wander into your kitchen and just start snapping limbs.
You know what that like sounded to me like?
What?
It's like, don't tell your friends where your voodoo dolls are if you don't want this to happen to you. That's like the drug dealer. You go into his house and him telling you where his stash is.
Totally.
You know? You
shouldn't right back here.
You shouldn't have betrayed this information to me.
The combo's 69.
He definitely, Chucky opened a small safe with the combination 69.
He sure did.
69, 69, 69.
All three. You just have to spin the dial like two times each time, land in the same spot.
Yeah. Also, like, just don't, when someone comes to you with their horrible plan, don't go, no, you're an abomination, I'm going to sentence you to the pits of hell or whatever. Just go like, sure.
Try a little reverse psychology.
Yeah.
You know? Haven't you watched any crime shows?
Yeah. Just try not to get caught the second you realize that things are bad.
De-escalate. And I mean,
there you go.
Like, if that person happens to be a possessed doll, then even more so.
Yeah. Just try to be chill. When they walk in and you see them and they go like, how do I get out of this body? Tell them like, just eat blue cotton candy.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
I like the version where that guy just got high before he shows up. He's like, oh shit, man. Look at you, Chucky. What the hell?
He's like, whoa, look at you. And then Chucky comes in. He's like, what? What's wrong? He's like, wait, are we all dolls? Have I always been a doll?
Credits. Yeah. Super. It just makes me excited for Leprechaun in the Hood, where Leprechaun's actually hitting a bong. That happens.
That might be why I loved this so much. It's just because, like, more Leprechaun.
It's coming.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Tex Chris Dave Saw Massacre. I am David Stoneborough.
I am Chris Vandenberg.
And as always...
Chaos reigns. A good use of 9 million. Chaos reigns.
See you Saturday, scaredy cats.
Sha sha sha.